I wanted to say thank you to you, men and women, boys and girls of Beulah, for giving us the privilege to be here these last, six, eight months since we've been here. We all feel like you guys are family, and we look forward to keeping in touch. It says on the front of this here, it says goodbye, best wishes, but really I'd like to change that to an old song says, happy trails to you until we meet again. Remember that old Roy Rogers, happy trails? Because I don't think this is goodbye. You know, you can only stay away from family so long. You know what I mean? I wonder how they're doing, you know? So we'll be back. Yeah, we're going to see. And please, if you're going south on 220, you cross the Franklin-Henry County line. Another mile and a half is bank services with big eight pillars in front of it. Turn in there. All the money's in the bank, and then there's our driveway. our driveway splits off of theirs, but where our house is right behind bank services. Please, if there's a car up there, please do stop by. We'll leave the light on for you, okay? Yeah, you got to come, you know, if nothing else, come to meet the most friendly dog you'll ever meet. Her name's Macy, okay? So please don't be scarce. I also want to say a thank you to what I would call just the servant-hearted folks that there are in this church. A lot of you do stuff behind the scenes and quietly. You know, there's people that cook great stuff, and they're over there fixing food and getting that ready. And I just appreciate the servant heart that I see in a lot of you folks, and I encourage you to continue with that. Please remember us in prayers for the jails, the jail ministry, the Hope Centers, rehab. God is really working in these rehabs. The Anchor House, the juvenile boys' home. Those boys need your prayers. And then the pregnancy center where Trudy is involved down there. These are women who are making a decision whether to snuff a baby out or keep a baby. And it's life and death. And there's a lot of opportunities to minister to people in that pregnancy center. So, okay. Well, with the time that we have, I want to review what we did last Sunday. We spoke about Jesus, the master fisherman. And we got to sort of watch him in action as he was sort of passing through Jericho. And it was really the final grand finale of his mission. He was going to go up 18 miles up to Jerusalem and give his life on the cross. He was going to go through that whole passion, and the greatest thing that ever happened for the human race was Jesus was going to die for our sins. But in the middle of the thing, he just walking along and stops, and the huge crowd stops because some guy that people just normally pass by was hollering out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, whoa, boys, stop right here. Let's put the mission on hold here for a second. Something more important. Somebody needs mercy. Let's stop. And he ministered to blind Bartimaeus. And I just love the part where it says, Jesus stood still. God is so good. When he hears a cry for mercy mixed with faith, he's going to stop and do a little fishing. And you know what? He calls you and I to join in with him. Because in Matthew 4:19, let's say it together. He said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. You all know that verse. Another one that he said in John 5:19, he says, you know what I do? I only do what I see the Father doing. And guess what? The Father's really good at fishing. Jesus is really good at fishing. And as you and I follow him, guess what? He's making us to learn how to fish. When you're going fishing, you got to prepare. And you can never overemphasize the ministry of prayer, the ministry of your own personal prayer life, which I hope that for you is growing every year. I hope your time with God alone is becoming more and more precious to you as the years go on. I hope that it is. Your prayers in groups, that prayer meeting downstairs is, in my view, it's a great important part of Beulah Baptist Church. We still have a prayer meeting. A lot of churches have given up on the prayer meeting. They don't even have a prayer meeting anymore. So I'm glad we do, and you're invited. But prayer, is important even in partners. Like if you have a heart, you want to reach out, but you need wisdom, you need courage. Well, it's good to pray with somebody. You know, if your spouse is saved and you can pray together, you can pray. God will help you and prepare you to be a fisher of men. When you're praying for each other like that, that's powerful. Somebody said, you want to talk to God about men before you talk to men about God. You know, sometimes if you're not really a praying person, but you're saved and you're trying to witness, and your witness can be a little rusty, like water coming through a pipe and there's a little lead in it, a little bit of rust and corrosion in it. Well, prayer can get that water clear so that your witness can be more effective. So another important part in preparing to go fishing, of course, is study. You know, Paul the Apostle, he said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, we can memorize Scripture. We can learn Scripture. We can study it. It's really great. To me, a good Bible study is like a great meal. Man, wow, your spirit goes, that was good. I want some more of that. So study is a great preparation. You know, one person said this one time. God spoke to his heart kind of in a way that came to him this way. He said, you build me a house of devotion, and I will build you a house of ministry. Your life and your witness is like the ocean surface in the Arctic or the Antarctic. Below is this huge, huge iceberg there, but up above you just see a little bit of it. That's your witness, is the part you see, but the real power is coming from what's going on below the surface. It's your devotional life with God. That's going to make your witness powerful. You build God a house of devotion, God will build you and I a house of ministry. It's so true. We have to check our motives as we prepare to go out witnessing. There are sometimes people that can't go out and they got to give a tract to everybody. Well, I need to witness. I'm a Christian, and I'm under condemnation and I better obey God, so I'm giving out these Christians. Guess what? They move more people away from God than they draw to God, because their motive isn't right. They need a few notches on their gun belt, well, I witnessed to four today, or whatever, or I got somebody saved. They're trying to earn their way into the kingdom through their works, and that's not the best way to witness. So we got to check our motives. Is it for me that I'm doing this religious witness, or am I doing it for Jesus and for them, I've been motivated sometimes by guilt. I'm afraid, I'm going to feel guilty if I don't witness here, so... And it just goes flat. It doesn't go anywhere. So we got to check our motives. Another preparation is we need the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need to ask for that. We need to rely on that. I love what Acts 1:8 says. And it says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Power to witness, the Spirit coming upon us. Those 120 people, I believe, were saved, weren't they? Were they Christians? I'm pretty sure they were. But God said, hey, my Spirit is going to come upon you. You see, when you study about the Holy Spirit, you're going to find out that the Spirit can be with you, he can be in you, and upon you, and they're not all the same. We need the Spirit to come upon us. He's in you. You're saved. The Spirit comes in, and you're saved. The Spirit is in you. That's a person saved. But we need the Spirit to be upon us. In the same way that if I want to wash my car, I need to turn the hose on. The Bible says be being filled by the Holy Spirit. It's a present, continuous thing. If I want to witness effectively, I got to tell God, Lord, I need you flowing through me. I need your Spirit today. I don't want to do today without your Spirit, Lord. I don't want to do this phone call without your Spirit. Guide me. Amen? Stay in touch. And let the Spirit move through you. You're going to be a fisher of men. You will be, with the power of the Spirit of God. I like this. There's a preparation that we need. Now, men, listen to me, men, because this isn't just for women. But you know what we need? We need the fragrance of Christ. There's a beautiful scripture in Psalms 45 and verse 8, and it speaks of Jesus in a beautiful way. I don't want to misquote it, so I'm going to read it to you. It's Psalm 45 and verse 8. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. You know what? That's a prophetic scripture about how Jesus' fragrance was. It was aloe and cassia and myrrh, just a beautiful fragrance of that perfect life of Jesus Christ. The fragrance of Christ. Do you know something? If you Google information about fish's sense of smell, you know what you find? Fish have a great sense of smell. I saw a picture of their nostrils. They're right in front of their eyes, and their nostrils have this little flap on them. And when the water comes along, the nostril goes, okay, water, now you need to go in this nose part right here and come out over here so we can tell what's in you. And the flaps go like that. And they send the water into the nostril and out over here. And as the water goes through, the fish can go, I smell some good bait. Or I smell trouble. Or I smell pollution. The fish have a really, really good sense of smell. And you know what? That song that Miss Linda chose today said something very interesting to me that got my attention. Because we're called to be fishers of men and women, but God wants us to live by a river, and we just sang about that. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy. And God calls us to live by these waters. He tells us a little bit more about them in Psalm 46. He says, there is a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God, in the tabernacles of the Most High. It talks about living by a river, by a stream. In John chapter 7, verse 37, it was in the song today, it says, come unto me, all you who are thirsty, and drink, and out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So as we're sent out to fish, guess what? We're also called to be living in this river. And this river is going to give you and I a fragrance, because the river is the presence of God. The river is your relationship with Jesus. It's your walking with the Lord. And that fragrance that Jesus is starts to, without you even realizing it, gets all over you. You know, when Moses came down from the mountain in Exodus chapter 34, he didn't even know that his face shone. They had to put a veil over it. Said, whoa, look at Moses. His face is just like the sun. Put a veil over it. That's too bright. It's like looking at a welding torch. He didn't even know it. Listen, you and I spend time with our Jesus, the fragrance of Jesus in that river of his presence a little bit every day. It's going to get on you. And you know what the fish out there will do? They'll go, I wonder what's with her. Why is she so kind to me? Everybody else is mean to me. Why is she nice to me? They're going to smell it. Fish have a great sense of smell. And when the door opens, you can tell them, well, you know what? It comes from Jesus. He loves you. Why don't you come and check him out? And you know what? Maybe God will use you to crank one in. So we live by the river, and we're called to fish. You know, Fisher folks need bait and tackle. What is the bait and the tackle when we're going fishing? The bait is the gospel. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, man. It's the power of God for salvation to everybody who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power of God. We know the word of God is the bait. God's word doesn't return void. You know, you put it out certain places, it's going to come back with some kind of result. Another part of the bait and the tackle that we have is the fruit of the Spirit, and especially love. You guys that are Bible readers, you know the Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. You know what my heart and my prayer is for Beulah Baptist Church going forward? That people that walk into these doors or meet you guys out in the community, they're going to get a little bit of a feel of what it feels like to get baptized in love. That's what I pray for Beulah Baptist Church. that people that come into contact with you guys and that maybe visit here, come in here, they're going to sense the love of God. That's what we want. That's what Jesus wants to do. That's part of the bait and tackle. You know, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. You've heard that before. It's a good saying. Another part of the bait and tackle is your own unique gifts and your own personality. You don't have to copy anybody. You don't have to try to be anybody, you know? And I'm thankful for that. Just be yourself. Walk with Jesus. God's given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. And by the way, I want to pause real quick and share a little song with you, because we know that the fish, so to speak, those ones that Jesus wants to reach, you know who they don't need? They don't need me, and they don't need you. God can use us, right? But he doesn't need us. They need him. It's about Jesus. It's not about us or me or pastor or something, no. They need him, amen? He's the one. So we have to make sure we're pointing them to him.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cry that only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear those words of life only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives for people need the Lord? People need the Lord. Thank you.
time and time again, I don't know about you, but I feel like the Lord has to crank me back in and remind me, John, it's not about you. They need him. Amen? They need Jesus. They need him. So, bait and tackle and fishing techniques. You know, one guy said you need three things. You need, number one, confidence. Number two, confidence. And number three, confidence. You know what? Expect God to use you. It says, ask and you shall receive. Believe that he's going to lead you. Believe the call you got, the meeting you had, the folks in the waiting room. Believe you're not there with them by accident. Believe, confident. There's a reason you and I meet people that we meet every day, every week. That's why I tell people, it's not boring being a Christian. No, no. It's not boring being a Christian. Be confident. Yeah, oh, listen, fishing techniques, you need eyes and ears, amen? You got to be able to see, you know, the pond and, you know, where the shoreline, you know, you got to see where the riffles are, whatever. I'm not a fisherman, but you know what I mean. God says in Psalm 32, verse 8, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go, and I will guide you with my eye. Let God show you people the way he sees them. Let him see, let him show you the Pakistani convenience store guy that's been here 30 years and Americans don't even say hello to him. Let him show you that guy. Become his friend, you know? Fish. Oh my, it's so fun to fish. I love it. You never know, the weirdest person can end up being your best friend. You just never know. It's wonderful. I love going fishing with Jesus. You got to be patient, you know. You can't force it. You can't push it. But just be patient. God's going to work. Fish in many pools. Fish in many pools. Pay attention to the nibbles. Isn't it fun when you watch the bobber go boom, 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 boom? It means the fish is nibbling on the hook. When somebody's interested in Jesus, God will show you that. That's where you want to be their friend and hang out. He may want to use you. They're nibbling. Don't just walk away. Say, how are you? And then listen for an hour, you know? Whatever it takes. I love it. So, listen, my wife showed me that read their body language. If somebody's really like, no, 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 please, get out. All right, time's up. You've had your little witness. Get out of here. You know, just read their body language, you know. Okay, the door's shutting. I love you, man. I'm praying for you all. I'll keep my mouth shut now. You know, I'm not going to push Jesus on you. We never push Jesus on people. Jesus used parables and word pictures. You can do this. You got a great place to do this. I was riding up the road today, and I see a guardrail on 220. Okay, here's the road curving. There's trees. Jesus used simple things to just witness everywhere. A rock. He'd say, oh, man, you know, a rock. Well, what's... You say, well, you know what? You can build your house on a rock. It's Jesus. He loves you. Why don't you check it out? You can witness with anything you want. A piece of wood. You can say, you know what? I came to Jesus. I was like a warped board. But you know what? He gradually straightened me out. Take anything you want. Do it like Jesus. Take a light. Think, you know what? I was in the dark for 25 years until Jesus shined a light in my life. And man, I got saved. Why don't you get saved too? Just use anything that's around you. Use a horse if you want. Okay, there's horse owners here. You can say, you know what? In the Old Testament, God spoke through a donkey. That means he could probably speak through a dummy like me. And he loves you. You just use anything you want. Use a tree. Use a leaf. Use a cup. You could tell somebody, you know what? My cup just kept going empty. I tried everything this world had to offer, and all I came up with is an empty cup. But one day, Jesus come and put his love in my heart, and now I got a cup that's overflowing. You can witness with anything you want. Do it like Jesus did. He talk about seeds, soil, clouds. It's not hard. Just do it. Learn some short gospel truths. I love this one. Here's one you can all do. How many have somebody that says, how you doing? Does anybody, come on, you hear it. Somebody says, how you doing? Well, you know how you can answer that? and give a great witness and it takes only 13 seconds, you can say, well, I'm doing a whole lot better than I deserve. If I got what I deserved, I'd be going to hell. But Jesus saved me, man. I'm going up. What a deal. Have a great day. Takes you about 7.5 seconds. That's how you can answer when somebody says, how you doing? You say, man, better than I deserve. If I got what I deserve, I'd be flunked out. But Jesus took me in. I love it. Learn some short little gospel truths. Another fishing technique. Jesus asked a lot of questions. He'd say to the blind guy, he'd say, what do you want me to do for you? He'd always ask questions. You know what's a good question to ask people? You could say, if you had 3 wishes from God, what would you wish for? Just ask him that. That's a good conversation starter. You know, you never know what they're going to say, but God will show you if they're open or not. Just ask them those. You always have your testimony, and you can give your testimony the real short version. I hope you can. You don't have to give them your life history, you know, or go on or feel like it's got to be perfect, you know. You can just have a simple testimony like, man, I was so lost, but God found me. You know, that's all. I wasn't looking for him. I was just looking for the next party, you know, or the next thrill, but he found me. You can do a short testimony. You know, that's always good to do. Respect their right to choose. I'm sorry, 12 o'clock. We're already out of time. How are you guys doing? This is my last sermon, so you can't fire me. How about that? I just thought of that. Wow, you can't fire me, even though it's 12 o'clock. I'm in business, Jeff. All right, no, I'll wrap it up here quick. But listen, you respect people's right to choose. We never force Jesus on anybody. Here's something that's interesting. You want to be an ally with this person as much as possible. You don't have to sort of come across like it's us and them, us Christians and you sinners. You don't have to come across like that. You can be their ally as much as possible. Find things in common with that person. You can show them that you accept them, you know. God accepts people, you know, he doesn't accept the sin, but he loves people, right? And you could do that too. Be an ally with people, even though they're vastly different from you and they didn't grow up like you did. Be yourself, be genuine. Seek out the broken, oppressed, underprivileged. Here's something that's really a kind of an untapped thing. Reach out to the immigrant. And I'm not just talking Hispanic. If we open our eyes, there are Turkish people around. I've got a really close friend from Afghanistan. He's lived here for 25 years. We're great friends, you know. But reach out to the immigrant. Might be from Pakistan, but if he speaks a little English, say, how are you doing today? You know, just whatever, be friends. Prioritize children. And don't forget to laugh. You know what one person said? He said, if your Christianity doesn't give you joy, don't export it. Think about it. How many people out there need more sadness and depression and bad news and negativity? Not too many, I know. There's plenty of that. Just turn on your TV for 10 minutes. So laugh. Jesus rejoiced. He laughed, man. The Bible says he loved righteousness, hated lawlessness. Therefore, the Lord has anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. You know, Christians ought to be the happiest people you ever know. Christian, listen, I can't stay depressed too long around Rick Polin. I know, I can tell you that. You can't. He refuses to be depressed. And that's why I like him. He's just up. He's looking up. Praise the Lord. Keep that up, Rick. And it's, you know, I mean, seriously, the Bible says laughter does good like medicine. Now, I'm going to finish. It's time to go. By the way, you're invited to come and eat. Please don't let us eat by ourselves. We want to eat with you guys. But leave the results to God of the witness. One plants, you know, maybe your part was planting a little bit of seed. Another one waters. Maybe you're watering a little bit of the seed that's already been sown. But every now and then, you get to really lead them to Christ. Don't worry if it's not you all the time. But sometimes you get to lead them to Christ. And that's always fun. But one plants, another waters. Listen, we learn as we go. We're going to make mistakes. How many have ever made a little mistake on your witness? Come on. Anybody else besides me? And you thought, man, I shouldn't have done it that way. I kind of blew that one. You know, we all make mistakes. Guess what? You're not flunked out when you make a mistake. God says, come on, you'll do okay next time. You learn something. You learn what, you know, what works, what doesn't. You'll do better next time. He's a good dad, isn't he? Be creative. Think outside the box. Don't fear new approaches. You know, just new ideas are something to consider. As far as other Christian churches that, you know, maybe are not exactly like us, but they do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, we don't ever want to view them as competition. We want to cooperate wherever we can. You know, we really need to do that. The children of this world are wiser than the children of men. Amazon, all those big companies, they know that merging and building the company is better. You know, we have to work with other Christian churches and welcome that, not competition. Now, I got a word of encouragement as we close. We cannot, and I cannot, make myself a fisher of men. I can't do that. The good news is Jesus said, you just follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. Something's just going to happen, even without you realizing it sometimes. Because the Bible says we are his workmanship. And when you are hanging out daily with Jesus, you got a relationship with him, the one that fragrance of Christ, it's going to be in you. It's going to start rubbing off on you. And you know what? Fish got a good sense of smell. They're going to know, why are you happy when everybody else is messed up and depressed? How come you're happy? They're going to, that's attractive to fish. So he is able. I want to close with one thing. It's a word. I'm going to leave you with one word here. It's called a glow. Moses had it when he came down from Exodus 34, from receiving the, you know, the 40 days with God, the Ten Commandments. He comes down with the tablets of stone. The Bible says his face shone so bright it was like a welding torch. Had to put a veil. But he didn't know it. There's an unmistakable glow on the countenance of a Christian that's walking with God. It's very attractive. It draws people to Christ. It's beautiful. We can get it. All we got to do is hang out with the one who dwells in unapproachable light. His name is Jesus. And he's waiting for us every morning when we first wake up. There he is. It's great to be with him. Get that glow. And just go out and shine. You might not even know you're shining, but you're shining. And keep your fish in the water. Keep your pole in the water. Keep your pole out there. Jesus is the bait. Just keep loving people. Keep loving each other like you're doing. We love you guys. Appreciate you. You want to come, Brenda?